180 degrees. Good morning on this Monday morning to my podcast audience, Local 304, and as always, my branch, Columbus, Ohio. Hey, listen, first thing I want to say is on your check this week, you will be receiving your RI-399 grievance union settlement payment. So again, this should put 80% of the RI-399 issues to bed. After this pay period, the only thing that should be looming in the balance with respect to the RI-399 settlement will be if you did not receive a payment and you are entitled to a payment, or if you received a payment and it was the wrong amount, then the National has set up a grievance board, or excuse me, a review board that will hear just those issues and try to resolve them as expeditiously as possible. Now, I gotta tell you that there are mixed reviews on this settlement or on this payment, but again, I'm not going to go deep into that on today's podcast, but I would like to say, if you are in an office that had zero RI-399 issues and you receive a part of this compensation payment, then your view on the settlement is going to be a lot more upbeat, as opposed to if you're in an office and you had thousands of RI-399 cases and you receive nowhere near with respect to compensation as what was actually in your office, then your view on the settlement would not be as bright as those who had no grievances. And again, that's just how we're divided when it comes to who's happy and who's sad about RI-399 payments. But let's move right along on some other issues. Let's go right back to, you know, I'm sorry. I got to ask these questions. If I was to ask questions, if anybody had asked for my opinion back in 2016 or 17, I probably would have asked, how much were we due actually? What was the actual dollar value of these grievances? The next question I'd probably ask is, once we agreed to a settlement, why would we let the post office hold $14.5 million union dollars for over a year? Then I'd probably say, well, since you're going to hold it, can my members get the interest off of our money that you're holding? And that pretty much sums up all I want or need to say about our RI-399. The grievance, the arbitration is won. Settlement is agreed upon. Payments will be made. Again, the only thing left is just ensuring everyone who was entitled to a payment got a payment, and everyone who got a payment got the correct payment. Hey, let's move right along. Columbus, Ohio. Look around your work area. Your work environment is changing drastically right in front of your face, and I got to tell you, I don't see any opposition to the change that management is doing right in front of our face. It appears that our eyes are wide shut right now. And this is what I mean. Every day I go to work, the bid job that you bid it on, the bid job that you were awarded, again, has so many other extra caveats added to it that mail handlers just seem to absorb because they are not aware of what it is they're supposed to be doing. And listen, when I say that, come on, mail handlers, I need you to get behind me on this. Rather than say, well, Ken thinks he knows. No, grab a copy of your bid. Look at what your job is supposed to be. And come on, we have to start locking into that, because what's happening is we are taking so many shortcuts on our actual job to do other jobs that, again, you are allowing management to just merge all bids into just a job. And the union fought hard, so that's not what we have. And I give management credit, because they're not even using a strong arm, for lack of a better phrase, to get us to violate our bids, work outside of our bids, combine many jobs together so that that manager, or excuse me, so that supervisor can come a little closer to meeting their daily goals. Yeah, I compliment the post office, because their managers are asking us very politely. They're not being rude. They're not really being very demanding, again, because I hope you understand when that supervisor says to you, can you do me a favor? I mean, I hope we're smart enough to know that that sounds nice, but you know you're hearing, I need you to go and do this. And if you don't, let me tell you, that's what you're hearing. So again, we're hearing a lot of, can you do this for me? Can you? I mean, again, I compliment the post office on the the interpersonal skills the supervisors are displaying. But I want to say to the craft, at some point, we have to not fall victim to that. At some point. Now, again, I'm the number one drum major for discretionary effort. So if you have supervision that make you feel good at work, invited at work, make you feel important at work, then you can go hard in the paint for that supervisor. And again, that's only human nature. And I don't, at any point in my conversation, try to deter that. But I just say to the craft, understand or know, start off with knowing what your bid job is. And let's do that in its entirety. And then we can see what extra time we really have, or what additional time we really have. Because see, now when management starts taking you out of your bid to do something else, there's a procedure for that. And it's just not, can you do me a favor and go bring all that mail in from the North Dock, when the North Dock has dock drivers. Do you understand? And that changes. Again, I'm going back to my apps. If there's no work on the apps, then we understand it is what it is. But if there's work in your section for you to leave your area to go to another area to do a different bid job, see, that's the kind of instructions that your union should be aggressively trying to deter. Now, they tell me that Columbus is beginning to merge pay locations back to what some thinks it should have always been. But I want to caution you on what I'm talking about. And what I mean is, for example, you have high-speed trace order. You've got the robots, and you've got consolidated dispatch in the lanes. Now, I always thought that was one pay location. When they bid it, they bid that those jobs as one pay location. But then once you get inside of that bid, they're treated like separate entities. Union, you have to step up and ensure, or excuse me, our union should step up and talk to management and let them know whatever deal was made in the past was an incorrect deal. And we want to acknowledge an improper past practice, but we need to set that straight. And we should insist that if you bid jobs in a pay location, then you must supervise that area. And when I say supervise, I mean there's one rotation list when you move people in and out of the unit. There's one overtime list. There's one holiday schedule. There's one leave schedule. If you're going to bid jobs in the pay location, and listen to me, mail handlers, some of us are going to be on the losing end when we start anew. If we get together and insist that management comes into compliance, but I ask, if you're one of the mail handlers that are on the losing end while we get things straight, then all I can say in all honesty is, I need you to take that for the team, for the greater good. And I know we say that as a joke, but right now it's important that we do that, because we have to get back to center, and then we can see at what speed and what direction we want to travel. But last but not least, we do know that we want to travel in a 180-degree direction, because that's the direction that your new local president, Ken Hodge, will lead. Hey, have a wonderful day. Again, Monday evening podcast. I'll be a little earlier tomorrow morning with Tuesdays. But have a great day. And remember, vote Ken Hodge, 180-degree new direction, because I'm going to bring about a much-needed change to Local 304.